We're grateful for this opportunity that David reached out to me to be able to fill in for him. And this lesson that has been passed out is something that my wife encouraged me to do some years ago. We call it Christianity in Action. And this is an opportunity for us to take the things that we study in Scripture, the various doctrinal truths that we learn in Scripture, and we seek to make practical application. And so what we have here is a scenario that has been drawn up. Let us be mindful that any names that you read are fictitious. If your name is Will Wright, I promise you, I did not know that. If something is spoken of in this scenario that may hit close to home, I promise you, I'm not airing your business. I don't know your business. This was something that was just simply put together to help us to make practical application of the things that we know of from Scripture. Okay? All right, so here's the scenario. Will Wright is a 25-year-old up-and-coming architect who moved from his parents' house in Texas and placed membership with your congregation 2 years ago. His attendance and participation in the work and worship of the church has been inconsistent, but he is a really nice guy. Will's passion for his profession, as well as his involvement in recreational activities with co-workers, such as flag football, basketball, fishing, video game tournaments, etc., had led him to put his spiritual obligations on the back burner. After not seeing him in services for 5 straight weeks, you decide that it is time to let this brother know that he is forsaking the assembly and he needs to get his priorities in order before he is lost. After cordially listening to your reprimand, Will immediately promises that he will be in services on the upcoming Sunday, but he never shows up. A year later, Will is still not attending services. Here's the scenario. First question, according to Matthew chapter 13, 1 through 8 and 18 through 23, which deals with the parable of the soils, Will's spiritual condition closely resembles which soil? And explain why. Now, this is an interactive study, so just simply raise your hand and we will try to acknowledge you. We won't be able to take everyone's comments because of the amount of time that we have, but we'd like to interact here and get some different takes on this. Brother Tom. Okay, so this is the soil, which the thorns that is spoken of by Jesus in this particular parable. That's the individual who is distracted, has obeyed the gospel, but the cares of this world has really distracted him. Okay, any other different takes on that? All right. What factors have seemingly contributed to this spiritual decline based on what you've read here? What is it specifically? What's that? Okay. And what part of what you read here leads you to believe that? Other things have become more important. Things such as these tournaments and sports, sporting events, fishing and whatnot on the weekends. Yes, sir. Forsaking the assembly. Okay. He's forsaking the assembly. He's putting other things before worship on the first day of the week. Perhaps he's putting other things before Bible study in the middle of the week. Yes, sir. Okay. Good point. Very good point. Other comments? Yes. Okay. All right. Good point. Sometimes that happens when people are out for various reasons. We may not know why they're out, but they're out for several weeks and no one reaches out to them. That's a very good point. Now, of course, we all understand that as Christians, you know, it works both ways, that we have an obligation as Christians to look after and make sure that we are reaching out to our fellow brethren that may be struggling. We don't know the situation, but just like it would be in your own earthly family, if someone was constantly missing during those family gatherings and you had not heard from that individual, I'm quite sure you would not just go on with the course of your life and not ever reach out to find out, hey, what happened? Why weren't you at the family gathering? Well, on the first day of the week, our worship, that's our family gathering. That is one of the times when we are going to gather together as God's people. And when people are consistently out, we ought to be concerned about what's going on, to reach out and see if it's something that we can do to help them. Yes, sir. Right. Another good point. Another good point. Do we have any other comments? Yes, sir. Okay. All right. So the company that he's keeping, and then also for the responsibility that the congregation has to reach out and establish a bond with him as well. Good point. As we look at question two, is it wrong for Christians to engage in and enjoy pure forms of recreation and entertainment? Is that in and of itself wrong? No, it is not. Okay. What must be taken into account when considering investing our time and energy in these areas? And I've provided some passages you can take a look at here briefly, or some of you may also know. But what needs to be taken into account when we're going to allow ourselves to invest our time and our energy in the extracurriculars? Remember who's your first love. Okay. All right. Okay, good point. Yes, ma'am. God has to be our priority. Amen. Not to allow others to interfere with your spiritual obligations. Good point. Right. Good point. Any others? Okay, so what I'm hearing then here is, on the one hand, we need to make sure that we have our spiritual priorities in order. We also need to pay attention to what type of influence others will have on us. What type of people are we investing our time with and around? Because those people could be people who don't have the Lord as their number one priority. And when you are spending your time around individuals such as that, then I guarantee you it's going to have an impact, and that won't be positive. 1 Corinthians 15:33 comes into mind. Paul says that we need to pay close attention to the influences around us. Evil communication corrupts good morals. So we have to be aware of those that we are investing our time in and around. Any other comments on that? Yes, sir. And that's a very good point. Again, it goes back to the fact that these activities in and of themselves are not wrong. And so we want to make sure that we don't leave here thinking that it is wrong for us to go fishing, it's wrong for us to go and play golf, wrong for us to play any of these sports, wrong for us to play video games for that matter. But at the same time, Sunday at 9:30 a.m. is not the time for you to go out to play golf to try to convert this person, because that is the time that has been set aside for you as a Christian to come together with the saints for Bible class and for worship. So we need to make sure that we understand that and just prioritize. Yes, sir. And the conversation. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let us, for the sake of time, go ahead and move to number three here. To what extent does our Heavenly Father want us to be concerned with the well-being of our spiritual brethren? Someone get Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And then also someone with James chapter 5, verse 19 through 20. Let's take a look briefly at these two passages, and then we want to address that question. To what extent does our Heavenly Father want us to be concerned with the well-being of our spiritual brethren? Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Anyone with that? Okay. Anyone have James 5, 19 and 20?
Brethren, if anyone among you wanders away from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins.
So as we listen to these two passages and we think about the question, to what extent does our Heavenly Father want us to be concerned about the spiritual standing of one another, the spiritual well-being of one another? How much does God want us to be involved with one another? He wants us to be very, very involved, to be concerned. Too often what we find that happens is that, you know, we kind of have our own blinders on. you know, if the person isn't related to us, you know, we kind of put blinders on and say, you know, well, that doesn't concern me because this person is not my family. This person is not my responsibility. You know, am I my brother's keeper? You know, we're not concerned about others. You know, I'm too busy with my own situation. I have my own problems. You know, I can't go to someone else. I'm not going to go to someone else and try to help them with their problems. You know, I'm busy enough with my own. And unfortunately, God wants us as Christians to be concerned about one another. So the excuse of I have my own problems, I have enough going on in my own life, than to be trying to help someone with what's going on in their life, well, that's not Christianity, not that mindset. So we have to be concerned with one another. We have to be concerned about what's going on with one another. That doesn't say that we're not concerned about ourselves, because we are. We are to be concerned about ourselves. But, and we're going to take a look at another passage here in just a moment that speaks to that. Number four, based on this scenario, what may have further encouraged Will not to return to services? Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am. Okay. All right. Good point. Who do we have here? Yes, sir. And then we'll come back here. Very good point. Very, very important for us to pay a close attention to details, whether it be reading through or listening to people. The word reprimand is what he was just commenting on for those of you who didn't hear him, that the individual who called him reprimanded him as opposed to calling him and talking with him about what was going on. Sometimes, I've been around the Lord's church, been a member of the Lord's church for long enough to have seen this, and have even, I can recall myself going back to the days of being in college when I was not faithful. And I guarantee you, the way we speak to one another, the way we approach one another is going to make a world of a difference in how that person who is guilty receives you, receives what it is that you have to say. Yes, ma'am. Approach. Our approach. Sometimes we, now understand, there are going to be some times, there are individuals that you've been knowing long enough that you're not, you know, you're not going to have to be able to just come to them with the little nice, you know, well, we miss you. There's some folks out there that know exactly what it is that they're doing. They've been around long enough. And if you have that type of relationship with them where you can come to them and speak directly to them. Yes. But once again, that comes from us knowing one another. We have to know one another that way. Even within my own family, we have different personalities. And for the ones in our family that have that personality that says you can't come to him with a little soft-spoken word because he's not going to hear you. But when you come to that person and you come to him directly and you look him in the eye, now he hears you and he understands. We have to utilize that same mindset when it comes down to folks, we're family. That's what the church is. It's a family. And we ought to get to love one another and know one another and be able to understand how, when the challenges arise, when there is someone who has gotten off track and moving in the wrong direction, how we're going to approach that person. Okay? I saw, yes, sir, back here. Good point. Very good point. Let us go ahead and move on here. Number five, confronting Christians about sinful conduct while attempting to express sincere concern for their overall well-being can be quite a challenge. Is this a task that only elders should undertake? For those that say no, why not? Okay. Okay. Let me ask, I should have done this from the onset because I do realize that we're not using microphones. When you're making comment, I need you to speak loud enough for the people on the opposite side of the room to hear you so that everyone can hear. You're not just speaking to me, you're speaking to everyone. So let's keep that in mind. Do we have any other comments on this particular one? Is this the elder's only responsibility?
One reason that's why I was speaking
over there. Okay. Yes, sir. All right. All right. Right. So she's speaking about the tone of voice with which you approach someone has a lot to do with it. You can't just approach someone with domineering, you know, I have all the answers, you're wrong, I'm right type voice. You have to approach them properly in a way that you would want to be approached if the situation was the other way around, correct? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Reverend Brown? Yep. Yeah, it's definitely about relationships. There is a point at which, yeah, the elders may need to intervene, but someone might perceive it, and this is what he was saying, someone might perceive it as basically, you know, well, they're sending the big guns out to me if they're sending the elders out. You know, it's gotten to that point. But whether the elders are sent out or whether it's one of us, a member of the congregation, it needs to be perceived in love. Our approach needs to be out of love when we're dealing with someone who is in a backslidden state. And folks, let's just recognize this is a part of Christianity, okay? Sometimes folks get off track. A lot of times people get off track. And when they get off track, there has to be a way, the proper way, the biblical way of helping them to get back on track. This is a part of what we do as Christians, all right? Back here in the back, yes.
One other thing, no idea about woodworking. Tell me about that.
All right. Very good point. Good point. There's another part to this question I want to move to. If this is not only the elder's responsibility, then let's talk about the necessary qualities of one who would undertake such a task as this. Some of you have already commented on that, but what qualities must a person have, or the individual who's going to go to someone in this situation, what qualities should they have? What's that? The love of Christ, okay. Absolutely. Very good point. Shane? Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am, over here. Good point. Dan, I believe you read for us Galatians 6.
Yes.
Let's look again at Galatians chapter 6. I'm sorry, but who was it that read Galatians 6 for us? Whoever can get it real quick. Galatians chapter 6. Let's look at those first couple of verses. When we stop and we think about what Paul is saying there, first off, in that very first verse, he says, who should be the one to help those who are struggling?
Brethren.
Those who are brethren. And he says there, what type of brethren?
Spiritual.
Okay, we need to make sure that we are all working on our own soul salvation. Make sure we're all concerned about ourselves spiritually. Make sure that we are spiritually minded.
Yeah.
Or as Jimmy said, we need to make sure that we have the love of Christ, the mind of Christ,
yes,
when we're going to approach one another.
Okay.
Just like we would want someone to approach us. Okay, goes back again to what Sister Jackie mentioned here about, you know, you can't just go to someone because you feel like you know, your track record for 2023 so far, you haven't missed any worship services, you haven't missed any Bible classes, you know, you're batting 100 right now. And so therefore, when it's your turn to find someone who is off track and someone who is backslidden and moving in the wrong direction, now you're going to go to them and let them have it because, you know what, you're right, you're in the right spot. That's not going to work. That's not going to work. You know, because that same person that you're going to might also remember 2022 when you were not batting 100. You see, so we have to make sure that we recognize the importance of being spiritually minded when it comes down to approach someone who is struggling. Because it is a spirit of love that's going to go farther than someone who is thinking that, hey, I got it all together now, and let me make sure I get everybody else together. Yes, sir, Brother Dan.
Verse 3 of that chapter says what you just said. If anyone thinks himself to be something, he's nothing. He's deceived himself.
There you go. That's it. That is it. I know that I just heard the first bell, so we're going to have to move on here. Number 6, rather than calling and outright reprimanding Will as a child, how might this attempt to encourage and restore be executed? I think we've pretty much covered that, honestly, so let's not waste time there. Number 7. Is Will in sin? Based on this scenario that we've read here, is Will in sin? Let's start off right there. Yeah, let's not be afraid to call it what it is now. He's in sin. He's in sin. Why do you suppose that such emphasis is placed on a Christian's attendance of assembly? Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. Now, let's make sure we also understand, simply because a person misses one service does not necessarily mean that they're in sin, they're forsaking the assembly. I don't believe that's what the Hebrews writer had in mind when he was talking about forsaking the assembly. Understanding who he's writing to in their circumstances, these were individuals who were now turning away from the faith and going back to Judaism. These were individuals that, because of the family members, let's bring it up to date, okay? Let's say, for instance, you come from a family that is one particular denomination, just that's the common religion in your family. And now you, the lone individual, steps out and obeys the gospel and becomes a member of the Lord's church. Now you've turned around and left the quote-unquote family religion. Those of you who may be in that scenario know what type of response you get from the family. A lot of times that's like, hey, what are you doing? You know that's not what we do. This goes back to grandma and great-grandma. They were all members of this church, and now you've gone over there and you've become a member of the Church of Christ. What are you doing? Well, that's kind of the mindset of what was happening, and the Hebrews writer was writing to them, letting them know that, look, don't go back out to something that's inferior. Don't leave the Lord to go back to what you knew simply because, you know, you want to make sure that you keep your family relationships and friendships intact. That's not going to save you. So when we understand that then, and we look at Hebrews chapter 10, and we talk about the idea of forsaking the assembly of ourselves, these are individuals now who are turning away from the faith and going back to doing whatever they were doing prior to. Oftentimes, we see someone who has missed worship one Sunday, maybe they weren't feeling well. Maybe it was that they had to go out of town, and they've come back. And now, because they weren't there in worship on Sunday, well, you were forsaking the assembly. That's not what he's talking about, okay? But now when we read this scenario and we see that this individual is making a voluntary decision to not attend worship, rather to do something else, putting something else before service, the attendance in the assembly where he should be on the first day of the week. When we look at it from that standpoint, and we think about what the Hebrews writer is talking about there, why do you suppose that type of emphasis was being placed on attendance? Why is the attendance of the assembly so important? That's where you should want to be. Where else? That is the mindset that we should have. Where else in the world would you rather be than in worship in the assembly with the rest of the saints? There is nothing else so more important and more fun, even if you want to look at it from that standpoint. I wouldn't want to be with anyone else rather than the saints when it comes down to that time. That's the time we should look forward to. We've gone the whole week dealing with all kinds of stuff and mess on the job, in the neighborhood, you name it, and then come first day of the week and we have the opportunity to be with like-minded people. Where else would you rather be? So, yes, sir. Good point. Very good point. There's our second bell. We're going to honor it. We thank you so much for your comments tonight, and we bid you Godspeed.